something I don't already know. I know that you can't stand these things I'm preaching in the streets. But how can I contain the truth I hold inside? All the hurting people that I see, so I don't mind putting up with you and all the things you say. I'm not about to stop or even change my ways.
Hey everybody, welcome back. You've tuned into True Stream Oasis. True Stream Oasis can be found at truthstream.podomatic.com, and True Stream Oasis is part of the Revelations Radio Network. You can find the Revelations Radio Network at revelationsradionetwork.com. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and once again, I'm glad to be back with you guys to spend a little time with you. This is the day that the Lord has made, so let us be glad and rejoice in it. And even though we sit in darkness, the Lord will be our light, because the Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear, right? All right, I'm going to start out this podcast today reading a little bit of scripture. Was focused on Psalm 17 today, and I wanted to share that with you. And I think it's a pretty good psalm to share with you in light of what I'm going to talk about. I really didn't have anything in particular to do a podcast on, but I was taking a walk around the city of Westchester, Pennsylvania tonight, and there was a lot of people on the streets. Don't know what was going on. I know they have a university in the town, and there's a lot of young people around, but I was just going to take a walk down to the 7-Eleven and get some coffee, and had to walk down one of the main streets here in Westchester, and there was just people everywhere. Actually, I was on the phone. I was trying to have a conversation with somebody, and it was just so loud. There was just police everywhere, just staked out on the corners, and just everybody was wild. And I just got this, oh, wow, there's just this sense of where this generation's going, and the young people that are coming up today, and their attitudes and things like that. So I figured I'd get on the mic. I'm here with Ezra Elijah. You guys might remember him if you listened to the last podcast, Fearing for the Calf Idol. He's the one that did the Hashki Venu prayer. And we've been hanging out a lot lately and just talking about some things. And I figured, you know, I'd bring him onto the podcast because he's got some good thoughts. And we've been bouncing some thoughts off each other. And, you know, if things go well, we may do some future podcasts. But yeah, basically tonight what got me on the mic was just the stirring in my gut, you know, of distress. And you know, I just figured I'd come back here and share some things with you guys. And, you know, we're going to give you the contact information at the end. And I really appreciate, you know, some feedback from you guys. But I want to start out, as I said, with Psalm 17, because I was focused on that earlier today. Reading, and it's just awesome how the Lord leads. I'm sure you guys can relate. You know, you just see things in, you know, in your life, like on a particular day where God will lead you to something, and then later on something will happen and you kind of make that connection. You know, it's the Holy Spirit leading you. But I was reading Psalm 17 earlier today, so let me share that with you. And I think it fits right in what God knew I was going to experience as I was walking down the street, just watching, you know, the revelry and the party atmosphere that was going on. So if you have your Bibles with you, I'll be reading from the New International Version. If you have your Bibles with you, read along with me. If not, I'll be reading it to you. So this is a prayer of David, Psalm 17:1. Hear, O Lord, my righteous plea. Listen to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. May my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who assail me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts, and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They now surround me with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a great lion crouching in cover. Rise up, O Lord, confront them, bring them down, rescue me from the wicked by your sword. O Lord, by your hand save me from such men, from men of this world whose reward is in this life. You still the hunger of those you cherish. Their sons have plenty, and they store up wealth for their children. And I, in righteousness, I will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. Okay, may the Lord bless the reading of his word. May he open the eyes of our understanding. I hope you guys enjoyed that psalm. Just to be totally honest, I'm not sure how we're going to start this out. I guess I just wanted to describe to you the atmosphere that was going on. I guess I just want to ask you guys a question. You know, have you guys noticed the general shift in culture? I know you guys have. I was wondering if it distresses as much as it distresses me. It reminds me of the verse in the Bible where he talks about Lot being vexed in his soul because of the lawless deeds that he saw going on and how he was tormented by it. But I'm thinking, you know, I usually just get on here and just kind of share my experiences and just talk about them. And I know from emails that I've gotten from you guys that, you know, it kind of hits home that you guys are also feeling a lot of the same things I am. And I know that that's where I personally get comfort, knowing that what I'm going through is, you know, not strange. I'm not the only one. And that, you know, other people are going through it. I think that's where we find comfort is the fellowship. And so I just thought I'd get on here and talk about it. I was talking with Ezra. We were both walking down to the 7-Eleven together, and it was just crazy, guys. I mean, you know, I'm like, this is Babylon. You know, this is it. I mean, Babylon encompasses the whole world. And, you know, but we're kind of like the capital city of Babylon, you know, America is. It's kind of like, I always liken it to we're the torch holder of Babylon. You know, this is where the action's at. This is where it starts. This is the culture generator, if you will, of Babylon. And, you know, I know that this podcast goes out all over the world. And I know that there's, you know, different countries. I get a lot of downloads in China, all over Europe. Been getting some downloads in Africa. So, you know, this is going out all over the world. And I'm wondering if you know, some of you guys out there in the foreign countries, you maybe haven't been to America. And all you know about America is what you see on television. And I guess speaking to you all, I would say what you see on television is only a portion of the reality. It's kind of a mix of both. It's not quite like it is on television. It's exaggerated and dramatized. But, you know, it's not down home, you know, country time either. You know, it's not quiet. It's somewhere in between. We all know television's basically a lie anyway. It's made up, you know, and that's obvious. But yeah, America can get kind of crazy, and it seems to me that this generation coming up is basically like an MTV generation, you know. As Reserver here chuckling because
sorry.
Yeah, I guess I hit the spot. I hit the spot on that one. But yeah, it's like, I guess how I want to explain it is, it's like the young people coming up, and again, I can only speak of America. I'm assuming that this is probably worldwide, you know, in the different cities of the world. But for America, the generation that's coming up is like literally the Jackass generation. You know, it's funny that we're doing the podcast from Westchester, Pennsylvania. Any of you guys have had some contact with the Jackass movie or the Jackass show that's on MTV, and you know, with Bam Margera? This is literally the town where Bam lives. His house is in Westchester, Pennsylvania. So, and this is where it all started. So, I guess it's kind of like an interesting connection that we're talking about Bam Margera and the whole Jackass phenomenon, and we're broadcasting from here. You know, I didn't even think about that earlier when we were walking down the street. I was talking to Ezra about the whole Jackass mentality. And no, guys, I'm not trying to set a record for saying Jackass in a podcast, and I hope it doesn't offend you. But it, you know, that's what we're talking about. You know, I was talking to Ezra about this mentality of this crazy, let it go, just, you know, crazy animalistic beast type mentality. You know, the Bible says, you know, that their God is their stomach. And it reminds me of like a dog, you know, where a dog just, when it gets hungry, it just goes for the bowl and eats. It doesn't think. It's like reactionary. It's not something that, you know, they have logic and they sit there and think, or they can resist. They just kind of give into it. And I think, you know, I was walking by the police tonight and they're patrolling the streets, and you know, they have the plausible deniability to do so. You know, it's a very plausible excuse. Well, look at the kids. You know, they're rowdy. They're out drinking. And, you know, we need to be here to protect you. It goes back where some of you guys might have heard in one of my previous podcasts, where I was talking about how America was founded with laws and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all that. And I think it was... Actually, I don't know which founding father it was. I remember reading a quote saying, you know, that our country with the basic framework that was laid down as the foundation of this country, it was really founded for people who were moral, you know, to keep the laws. And literally, if, you know, people started breaking the laws, if they weren't moral and they started breaking the laws, then there would be need to be more laws made so that they could convict people and put them away into prison. And eventually, if, you know, the society got more corrupt and more corrupt, they would need to make more laws, and it would degenerate into a police state. And because there'd just be a need for so much control, so much police, so much governmental control, and that's where it seems like it's going. It seems like it's on purpose. You know, it seems like they're using Hollywood and the television to just corrupt the morals and values of the American people, so that, you know, they'll go out and they'll be crazy, they'll be more reactionary, like that God is your belly beast dog mentality, and then they'll have an excuse to say, oh, you need us to protect you, you know, you need all these controls, you know, the world's going crazy. And it's just like going over into the Middle East in the middle of all the Arab countries, the Muslim countries, and going in there and starting the Iraq war, and then, you know, knowing that that was going to ignite, you know, a lot of anger in the midst of all that, to where a bunch of Muslim extremists were going to get really ticked off and foment that. And then it's just crazy. It's just crazy. Ezra, do you have any thoughts, man?
Yeah. I share a lot of the same things that you do. We were walking down in Westchester and just marveling in a way. Not necessarily marveling, but I guess it's kind of shocking. Since I live right here in Westchester, I know, you know, you come over and you see it, but every night I go out, I'm up late, and I see people walking by all the time. The lawlessness is a great way to put it. I told you a story how a couple weeks ago when you were here doing a podcast, I was walking around looking, and there were these four young ladies who were walking by. And they walked around the corner, and then as they were at the corner, because there are crosswalks, a group of guys come through in a car and just throw a beer at them for no apparent reason.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sitting out in my car having a phone conversation with a friend before I came up to your house the other night. And I always come over here after work to hang out and fellowship with you. And, you know, sometimes I'm on the phone on the way over, and, you know, I'll finish a conversation before I come up. And I had my window down, and there was like three guys and two girls walking by. And basically she just cursed at me. You know, like, what are you looking at? And it's just this general sense that I get that people are just hardened and calloused. You know, they're just getting, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and it's kind of funny because each generation starts out at a lower moral standard than the one before. So I'm not trying to lift up the 80s and say, oh, that was the greatest, you know, decade in the world and it was all perfect. I mean, we had our problems in the, you know, I'm sure those that grew up in the 60s and the 70s thought the 80s was crazy. I'm totally aware of that. But, you know, I'm just comparing how I grew up. You know, it was like the 80s was like movies of love and stuff like that. It wasn't like perfect, it wasn't like righteousness or anything, but it just seemed like it's softer. And my point is, it seems as like as we go along, things are just getting worse and worse. The spirit of man is just getting more rebellious, and it kind of started with in my heart, in my understanding, I noticed a real change at the beginning of the 90s with the grunge movement. It really went along with the music, like with bands like Nirvana and Pearl Jam and what I call lamentation rock.
Yeah.
You know, where they're like, woe is me, woe is the world, and it was just, you know, the music just started getting darker, you know, and I think that was definitely a change, was the mid, you know, the early 90s.
I think the late 80s, too. I think the late 80s started with a lot of, if you remember, a lot of late 80s action movies were just totally ultra-violent, ultra-geared. You take a look at stuff like Die Hard, Predator. Some of these movies that were just these ultra, ultra violent movies that just... And me being a younger person myself, and when I was younger, I watched it religiously. I just enjoyed the carnage of it. It was kind of like... you even look at today, like, what's the big sport that's on the rise today is mixed martial arts, which is basically like...
Is that
modern,
the UFC, like the Ultimate Fighting Championship?
Yeah, it's basically like a modern-day version of Roman gladiators, except people aren't dying.
Yeah, it's you know, the thing that gets me is that, and I just want to confess, I lived in the matrix of that perception. You know, I lived in that for years, even went to church, you know, on Sundays, went to Sunday school, was in a Bible memory course, you know, went to Christian school, had a relationship with the Lord, you know, or what I thought, and you know, but at the same time, I'm renting movies that, you know, like, were not good. God was not pleased with them. I just have to be honest, you know, they're just, and I was calling it entertainment. I'd rent, you know, movies like Alien versus Predator. That's probably one of the later movies, but but you know, like Predator, I'd watch the, you know, Rambo movies and stuff like that, and you know, I've even watched some horror movies, you know, when I was younger, and I just look back and I'm like, what was I doing? I was calling this entertainment. There's the movies coming out are just incredibly crazy. It almost makes you, as a Christian, when you have the Holy Spirit, I don't know if there's anybody else out there that feels this, but sometimes when I'm sitting down, like I'll go over to a friend's house and I'm looking for an opportunity to witness. So, you know, you got to go out among the world and make disciples of all men. And, you know, I have the guys at work, you know, that I've been ministering to for, you know, for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And go over their house and hang out with them. And you know, they put these movies on and I'm just sitting there like, you know, my gut's stirring. And this isn't self-righteousness. I mean, it's real, man. It's real. It's hard. I call it mixel vision. Like, I see two realities at once. I see and understand the reality that I lived in, watching those movies and being a part of the culture for years. And now that God really converted me and changed me, I have the Holy Spirit, and I can see that side at how it displeases God. And it's this very distressing thing of kind of living in two realities at once, and you're trying to reach people. But I get this feeling of distress inside, like it almost makes it bangs in my mind, you know, like it almost feels like it's craziness. And then it reminds you of Revelation 18. It says, you know, they drink the cup of, or the wine of, the filth of their fornications and adulteries, and it's the cup of madness. And madness is just craziness. Like sometimes I watch these movies and I feel like I'm going nuts a little bit.
Have you seen the newest Rambo movie? I saw it. I never saw, like, the amount of, and it's not as much violence, but just the blood and the gore. It literally rivaled that of, like, the new zombie movies that are out there. Just, it literally gets a disgusting feeling in the pit of my stomach. Like, how can they just throw it out there? Like, they just overload. In, like, the last 5 years, how many zombie movies have come out? These zombie horror movies that are just pure gore, just blood all over the place, guts. It's kind of like how we talk about how it just desensitizes you. You just become completely
and utterly desensitized.
Yeah, like you just have no sense of it. And, you know, on the TV, I had it picked up and I saw the new Rambo movie. I didn't see it in the theater. I have friends of mine who said they absolutely loved it. You know, I have other friends here, and so I had a chance to watch it, and I was literally amazed. I could not believe some of the things I saw. Like,
yeah, and once it goes in, you can't get it out.
Yeah, it's like
you got to shut the gates of your temple. The gates of your temple are your eyes and your ears.
For example, I mean, you look over in my room, and I'm in the process of trying to sell some things because, unfortunately, like most of us, we have our financial problems.
Yeah.
And I have my video game collection from that I had before I've gone through my fundamental change, which you've seen.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the titles that I have in my collection that I am trying to sell is Doom 3, which is all about, you know, in the story of the game, it's about, you know, fighting demons and fighting hell and everything. But the whole concept that you gotta make a game about hell just... Mm-hmm. It's unnerving. You know, it's one thing when you play maybe a racing game or a car racing game, and it's, you know...
Oh, we could talk about video games for hours, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, I literally used to be totally absorbed into video games. I was an editor for the Sega Dreamcast section for GameFusion.com. It's interesting how the Lord used what I was trying to do for my own selfish things and for my flesh, getting into video games and building a video game website. I learned HTML and how to program, you know, web pages and stuff. But, you know, after the Lord got a hold of me and saved me, He's turned that around and He said, what you used for your flesh, I'm going to use for the Spirit. So God is sovereign over all things. But, you know, I was totally absorbed into video games. I was empty.
Yeah.
And that's why I preach to people, you know, that, you know, you can get saved in a church going up to an altar and saying a prayer. I'm not saying that, but there are a huge amount of people out there who are going up to altars, saying a prayer, repeating it after people, and thinking that they have the real thing, and they don't.
Because I was one of them.
Yeah, a real conversion is a real conversion. You're going to know it. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be something that you have to try at. It's something that compels you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit.
I told you about what happened to me a couple weeks ago where... Because I was the same way. I am... Both sides of my family are Jewish. I was raised Jewish in this country. Went to shul all the time. Went to services. Even got involved extracurricularly in Hebrew high school. That was after our school. I did a lot of different things. And I thought I knew my relationship with God. I really did. And a couple weeks ago, I learned a lot of the error of my ways. How I deluded myself. How I got caught up in certain things which created the current problems I'm in right now. And I was literally sitting up here where we are. I told you exactly what happened. I sat down. It was one of those nights where I was watching everybody below me with their drunken lewdness knocking things down. It was pretty much like vandalism from time to time, people being loud. And I took my glasses off and I looked up in the sky and I cried. I wept. And I said, Lord, save me from myself.
Yeah.
I was like, I am fully broken. I finally had a way of understanding. You know, I have all the senses around me of comfortability and what's the best way to put it? I was talking about it before. Stability. All my levels of stability have been taken away. And... Yeah. You know, when you have nothing left, what are you left to turn to?
Exactly. And isn't that where we're at, like, at this point in time? Like, they've literally, in America, they just literally pamper you into oblivion. You know, the comforts around us, it's a trap. It's like, you know, God has to break people to break the spell that the world has over them. The spell, it's sorcery. It's witchcraft. And I can't put it any other way. It's no different than Simon following the apostles around, you know, asking for the Holy Spirit power, the Simon Magus. You know, they thought he was the great power of God because he was bewitching people. You know, I don't think he was carrying around a magic wand or anything. I think it's the power of the persuasion of speech. That goes into the Language of Deception podcast. People are being deceived through speech, through clever, enchanting speech.
You can tie
that in
to all matters of media. And I'm not just talking about entertainment. You could talk about politics. Mm-hmm. You could talk about... We were just talking about the other day how broadcasters talk, even in sporting events.
Yeah.
Everything.
Let's share that with the listeners. We were sitting here... this is the Philadelphia area, so... we were flipping through the channels and we were like looking at the Eagles game that was on.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was just on a few days ago.
Yeah, we were listening to a broadcaster who's been announcing for the Eagles how many years?
Over 30 years.
Yeah, over 30 years.
Goes back to the 70s.
Any of you guys that are downloading this podcast in the Philadelphia area will know Merrill Reese.
Yep.
And this guy is like, and this is something that I want to bring to you guys. That you can test this out. And this is exactly what I picked up on and what started the whole beginnings of me delving into the Language of Deception. I just, after I became a Christian, I started like noticing how people talk on television. And, you know, it's kind of crazy. I started... See, I can't even watch television anymore because it's all just fake to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the drama is overdone. I was like... And I just picture, in real life, if whatever was on television was happening in this real world and it wasn't on television, I was like, that would be weird. So, the way I brought it to Ezra was... I said, listen to the way this announcer is announcing the game. It's all carefully crafted. It's like... You know, you're listening to the guy, and you're like, I can't even imitate it. I would just make a fool out of myself trying to imitate this guy.
I could try.
He's like, Ed, he's down at the 40-yard line, ladies and gentlemen, and it's and the running back's got the ball, and and look at him running across the field. And And so, yeah, those, I know that probably got really loud. Yeah, but
those of us who live in the Philadelphia area know the voice. And the funny thing about it is that if you go to the Philadelphia Eagles website online, you can hear the radio broadcast, because he's a radio broadcaster. They overlay the radio broadcast to the video so that when you click on videos and stuff, you can clearly hear how he calls games. He's been a staple broadcaster in the Philadelphia area for over the last 30 years. He's, and for those who live in Philly, very much beloved him as a broadcaster because they love the way he calls a game.
Yeah, and it's an experience, though, and it's like...
It is.
The thing that I'm trying to point out is that it's all carefully crafted. The whole experience of the crowd noise, the way people are trained to go up and down, and just the emotion and the way that the announcer is, and it's all just a package. Mm-hmm. And I'm just to the point in my life where, you know, when the Lord came into my life, I just want reality, you know. I don't, and it might be harmless because he's calling a game, okay? It's not like, you know, he's like trying to mesmerize you into sin or anything. But my point in bringing this up is that you can literally use your voice to basically like hypnotize people.
And it's not only sports fans. We're just bringing this out because it may not be something you guys think about all the time. It's a sporting event. Like, for instance, right now, what's the biggest sporting event in the world is the Olympics.
Yeah.
And we've been sitting here from night to night watching, and the big story in the United States is Michael Phelps, who's a United States swimmer, and the way they call a swimming event, sometimes they, like, towards the end of a race, if it's close, they start getting really loud and really amped up to make it sound really exciting, to over-dramatize, you know, what a great finish!
Yeah, and it's just... I guess the point that we're trying to make is open your eyes and take a look around at the world around you. There's a lot of psychology going on,
mm-hmm.
and this all ties in to putting people to sleep and putting them in this alternate state of reality, alternate perception, living the American dream, going to sleep, you know, spiritually. It's a craft. It's a craft. Man has just crafted things and honed it to elicit a psychological response out of people. There's so mm-hmm. many things going on. I mean, just look at...
You can look at any aspect of society today and not pick something out. You can look at, like I said, for television shows, some of the biggest shows over the history of this country, you look at stuff like, what's a more perfect example than maybe Star Trek? And the whole concept behind that, and the whole belief of, you know, the whole idea behind it of unity and science and everything else. And they really downplay religion. They really downplay faith. They really downplay a lot of things like that. You take a look at, we were talking about witchcraft, they have shows about literally witches on TV.
But the thing about
good people.
But the thing about witchcraft is I think sorcery and witchcraft go a lot deeper, and I think this whole Harry Potter with the magic hat and
the
Fantasia and the magic wand and all that, I don't even think that is the real witchcraft. I think witchcraft goes a lot deeper, and I think sorcery goes a lot deeper. I tend to think of sorcery is manipulating something by understanding the source of the thing you're trying to manipulate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you can understand people's psychology, you can manipulate them.
Yep.
If you understand the physical, biological foundations of the human body by studying science, you can use chemicals or medicines or whatever to alter the states of perception. I mean, because sorcery... In the New Testament, the word for sorcery is pharmakia. It's where we get our word pharmacy from.
Yeah, and, you're telling me
and
that.
And so that's a form of sorcery, is by, you know, maybe these antidepressants. Maybe we don't understand how this is working. Maybe it deadens the frontal lobe. Maybe it shuts off the alarm bells to your conscience. Because it's unnatural. I mean, obviously, God built things into human beings where if you do something, you should have an alarm bell going off. And maybe mm-hmm. the depression, maybe the sadness, the sorrow, the feelings of hopelessness all have a root cause in the spiritual, but they're just giving you a medication to make it go away. So yep. they're not really dealing with the root of the problem. They're basically just, you know, shutting off your frontal lobe so that your conscience doesn't work.
And not only is it that, but it's almost like, and how is this not like Satan, but to think that, what's the easiest way out? Take this pill. It'll help you feel better. You won't even have to feel this way anymore.
Yeah. It's basically the goal of Satan to pamper everybody is to say, you can sin, and we will figure out a way scientifically to circumvent the consequences that God's built into the universe for doing that sin. So you can go out, and you can blow your life out spiritually, do whatever you want, and we'll find a way around it. You know, we'll, if you go out drinking, and you drink too much, and you're going to wake up with a hangover, we got pills for that.
Yes,
you
they
can
do.
You can still go out and party all night, and you got pills for that. You can take Tylenol or whatever, avoid the pain. You can go out and do all these things that cause consequences like depression. We've got antidepressants. It, you know, you don't want to have a baby. We can take the baby out. We can kill the baby through abortion or the RU486 pill.
They have the pill now.
Yeah.
Like
the morning after pill.
They have the morning after pill, but they also have like the month-long series pills to like limit times for, you know, the period, stuff like that. They have, I saw a thing, actually I knew someone, they had a little surgery thing where they implemented right behind their shoulder blade, and the girl, this young lady, wasn't going to have a period for like 5 years.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's a form of birth control.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that they put in the arm. I used to know the name of that. There's all this stuff, and I guess this is just a, I guess this is kind of turning into a podcast of a smorgasbord of culture and just a venting session at what's going on about and being distressed at everything that's going on. But I'm, you know, I guess we're just getting on here sharing, you know, how we're feeling.
And our observations.
And hopefully you guys on the other end are just sitting there saying, you know what, I'm with you. You know, I'm seeing this too. And, man, I'm not crazy. Because this world is literally drinking the cup of madness. It's crazy.
And to put on top of that, because we started this podcast talking, you started talking about, you know, MTV. And, you know, a lot
and
of this...
And the jackass mentality.
Well, not
yeah.
only that, but a lot of this started... I can remember you didn't really hear about a lot of crazy stuff until the spring break stuff happened in the mid-90s. Remember 95, 96, 97? They were had these huge spring break week episodes with...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they had Jerry Springer come to spring break. They had, you know, all the stuff going with spring break. Spring break, spring break, spring break, Mardi Gras, the, you know, the whole thing. Then came along Girls Gone Wild. Then came along all this stuff. It's just party, 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 party.
They're literally corrupting the masses. And... You know, this, it was like the incident. Here's one thing. I guess I got to tread carefully here so I'm not misinterpreted. So I want to make this abundantly clear. But do you remember the Virginia Tech episode? The Virginia Tech massacre?
With Cho? Yeah. I remember, you know, I was at work when that happened. I remember exactly
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something stood out to me. And the point that I'm trying to make is they corrupt. Then they just sit back when things happen, and they say, where did that come from? Oh, I'm so surprised. It was like, you know, what Cho did was heinous, okay? It was...
We're not going to, like, condone it in any way.
Yeah, we're not... I'm not condoning it.
He still did
it.
something wrong.
I'm just... All I'm doing is I'm illustrating a point that the newscasters that came on and broadcasted act like it came out of left field. Like, they're like, how can somebody do something like this? And not to give him an excuse, but look at the movies that are in the theater, like Saul. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, where did this come from? Like, get a clue, people.
It's
you know,
not only
you've
that,
got people out there that can go in and watch a movie like this and come out and still lead a fairly normal life. I'm saying horizontally, not vertically, but...
Do you know what really pushed Virginia Tech, honestly, more than anything else? You know what really pushed this? And I don't want to put it in any bad light, because like we said, these things are heinous. Let's be honest. These people committed some serious wrongs, and yes, they may have issues and everything else. Look, take it as it may. But do you remember back in, was it 98, when Columbine happened?
Yeah.
Oh, the arms got thrown up in the air.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just, all of a sudden it looked like, oh, it hit the fan. Oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to keep this from happening again? And then came, you know, the quote-unquote copycats and everything else. And I was very young when that happened. You know, I was still in, I think, middle school. I was very young when it happened. And it was a lot of paranoia, especially with people my age. I can remember it happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, you take the spring break stuff, you take, you know, the Jackass stuff that really didn't start to hit till 2000. So it was even after that. That's just the stupid, idiocratic things that have been going on. You take a look at Columbine and the series of quote-unquote school shootings.
Mm-hmm.
You take a look at all these different things, and you just throw it all in the wind. But then the thing that really takes the cake for me, and this is for someone who's gone through certain experiences, I've traveled around the country, I've done a lot of different things. You know this, I've talked to you about it. For example, I was down in the deep south after Katrina hit, trying to help some people. The exploitation of the United States media amongst the public.
Mm-hmm.
We could go on.
Like what? Like specifically?
I can give one specific, and I remember. I will never forget this. After the hurricane hit, I was in the AmeriCorps at the time, which is kind of like a domestic peace corps. So I was actually working for the government. I'll never do that again. And it was during a vacation time when the hurricane hit. So the hurricane's hitting. And those of us who stayed on our campus, I was living out in Denver at the time, we were looking at each other because we had been trained in disaster relief, and we looked at each other and said, all right, when are we going? Because we knew what's what we were trained to do. Mm-hmm. But as everything was happening, there was footage of a guy who actually tried to run out in the middle of the street in New Orleans as the hurricane was hitting, a reporter.
Yeah.
Then after the hurricane hit, it was nothing but one person after another person after another person saying their story, who their family members are looking for, everything else. Right after it happened, I looked, the same of us that were together watching as it happened, and I looked at them, I said, this is exploitation.
Yeah.
And they said, they defended it. I said, no, man, they're really trying to get help for something. A week later, and this is the same stuff had been reported for an entire week, they look at me and said the exact words I said to them. I said, they are exploiting these people.
Yeah.
For ratings. They don't care about them.
No.
They care about their 5.1 in the ratings book, saying, oh, we made this much money because so many people watched our TV station.
We can't make any progress until people get real. People are too busy presenting the package, producing,
and
creating an experience. It's almost like you don't have to have a virtual reality helmet put on. It's all just, it reminds me of Shakespeare where he said, all the world is a stage. And it's literally like, it's just, we've gotten into this whole entertainment thing. It's just a mishmash. People are, they're corrupting people. You know, and the generations just keep going. It's getting worse. And we're out there calling people to repentance, and they're looking at us like we're wacko because they can't see it.
I was talking to a friend of mine literally a day or two after I had my confession.
Yeah.
And I was full of this thought. I was telling you about this, how much more I see now. My eyes have been open, and I just wanted to literally, like, grab a bullhorn and shout to the masses, I understand everything.
Yeah.
The controls of the government, everything else. I was talking to my friend over my phone, and I was literally just going off for a good half an hour. And they say to me, I really feel sorry for you, and the only thing that I came out of that was, the only thing that came out of it was, you understand that you did this, or something. After everything I said, how I understood, you know, we were talking about, you had a podcast about money,
mm-hmm.
with the whole fiat currency and how it's literally just a piece of paper and is meaningless.
Yeah.
Literally meaningless. We talked about, you had, you know, and I was talking to my friend about that. We were talking about the government. We were talking about just everything and how literally the wool, the layer, the deception has been completely revealed to me, and I truly see the world in the chaos and the darkness that it is. Meantime, keeping the light of hope that exists.
Yeah, that's the balance. See, what I've been trying to get out to the people because I fell into the conspiracies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went in head first, you know.
I remember.
Yeah. I mean, you've known me since, what, 2002?
2002, 2003. We've been friends for a long time.
Yeah, so we're looking at like 5-6 years. I mean, you know, when I went through that period, I'm like, oh, Alex Jones this and Alex Jones that, and look what the government's doing. And
mm-hmm.
man, I just went full bore into it. And it took me like 3 or 4 years of being into that before it was like, hello, McFly. You know, God's like, I let you fall into this to kind of give you a really good look at this so you could see what was going on. Because I've prayed all my life, even when I don't believe that I was a believer, because I don't believe that I really came to know the Lord until he crashed into my darkness after 9/11. And I've spoken about that many times, but I did pray all my life, Lord, please don't let me be deceived, because I understood that I took it like with much impact, where the Bible says the dragon deceives the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And that scared me bad. You know, I was like, I understood the weight of that. And so I fell into the conspiracies, and the reason I started True Stream Oasis was a way to lead people out of the confusion of Babylon, to bring people into the truth of God's word. And
yeah.
See, the balance is that this stuff is going on. These conspiracies are going on. We got elites in power. We got rich man controlling things, you know, the Illuminati, the whole New World Order. This stuff's going on, but you got to ask yourself a question. Why are they letting it out?
If you spend all your time focused on nothing but the conspiracies, you'll be caught in the whirlwind like everybody else. And the next thing you know is, what happened?
Yeah. And you're disillusioned. You're totally disillusioned. That's why it's coming out, because it's supposed to rock people's faith. It's supposed to say, well, if that's a conspiracy, if I lived inside that bubble for God knows how many years,
and then the bubble burst,
and I was totally deceived. I had no clue. Oh yeah, I knew there was a little bit of corruption going on in government. I knew politicians were liars, yada yada yada, and the rest all that. You know, Satan's got to allow you even inside the illusion to think that you're seeing something wrong. But then it's like this whole flood of stuff comes. It's like 9/11. After 9/11, 9/11 was the mother load. It was the bulldozer that just broke the dam of all the other conspiracies that were being hidden. And then everything just flooded out. It reminds me of the flood that comes out of the dragon's mouth. And it's like, guess what? There are so many things that you believed that were a lie. And then it all floods out. I mean, you know, I started waking up to this, like, you know, right at 9/11. And a little bit before 9/11, I had friends who were trying to tell me some things. But these were just like the little people you think are conspiracy nuts that were... Now, it's like, you know, after 9/11, I started waking up spiritually, and then all these conspiracies started opening up. I literally, before I got on the internet and studied the conspiracies, this stuff was coming into my mind, you know, and then I got onto the internet, and there's all this information. There's this Alex Jones thing, and the whole floodgates open. The whole floodgates open to the conspiracies, and I start getting into it. But then it started going mainstream. And then I was like, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm like, why are atheists getting into this? You know, why are they showing this stuff on A&E? And most of the other people are like, hoorah, man. Yeah, our movement's making it now, dude. It's going like... it's going full bore. It's actually on A&E, man. They're showing the Freemasons, and they're just doing it because the masses are desiring it. And I'm like, dude, you know, the people that are sitting on the board of A&E are the rich elite, and they're part of the Freemasons. So they want this stuff to get out.
We were just reading about this stuff.
Yeah, it's disillusionment. Yeah, we're going to get to that. I know exactly where you're going.
Yeah.
But they're...
it's crazy.
It's disillusionment. They want to release all this stuff that's hidden. You were stuck in the illusion, minding your own business, and then all of a sudden, they pop your bubble, they bring you out, you're disillusioned, you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff, it was overwhelming. And they want to get you into that disillusioned state so that you're, and I've said this many times, but it doesn't matter, I'll repeat it, it's a safeguard, and maybe it'll sink in on some of the people that haven't,
took me a long time.
Yeah. I was talking to you for like 5 years about this. Ezra, he's Jewish. He just came to know the Lord. He had a lot of information in him, but now he got the Holy Spirit, and his eyes are being opened, and it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome, awesome thing to see, you know, that seed come to fruition, and the Lord
gave it. It took time.
Yeah, and the Lord gave the increase. You had to be broken.
I fell many times, but, you know, because...
But this last time was the one where the Lord just reached in. Just reached in, and, you know, so it's awesome, you know, when you see somebody's eyes open. But, you know, this stuff is going mainstream, and when it went mainstream, something just didn't smell right. And, you know, God took me in deep. I got to look at it. I got so frustrated, so disillusioned, felt darkness all around me that I literally was sitting on my bed feeling like somebody was driving a javelin through my chest. I was under such deep spiritual attack, and I literally broke. I literally got on the floor, and I was crying out to God to deliver me. I said, I am under such a dark spiritual attack. And that's when, you know, God just said, okay, that's enough. That's enough. I think, you know, you're ready. And then he started to reveal to me what you're in is the conspiracy. The conspiracy's being released is the conspiracy.
That's the deception.
And I started, and all of a sudden, I went to work the next night, and I put an Alex Jones CD in, because at that time I didn't have my Zune. And I popped the Alex Jones CD in, and it was like I had new ears. I was literally hearing all of this seeds of rebellion and conspiracy and just trying to turn everybody into, like, revolutionaries. And it's like, it's not like, you know, you can understand how people will get into that because they're sick and tired of all this. But at the same time, it's a chess game. They're trying to plant the seeds of rebellion in people, and Satan's all about the rebellion. And the thing is, you just got to sit in your boat and float. Because if you go one way and you go into the illusion, they're just going to march you right in to the illusion. And then if you go to the other direction, you become a revolutionary. You're just giving the government an excuse to come lock you up, and because they're setting up this whole homegrown terrorism thing.
Oh, it's terrible.
So you know what we do is we say we're for the Lord, and we're not backing down. We're not backing down from anybody. We're loyal to Jesus Christ. And to the teachings of the Bible. And we're sticking to the scriptures. We're sticking to the gospel. We're calling it like it is. But these conspiracies are literally being fomented. And we're trying to lead people out of Babylon. This picture of Babylon is everybody babbling on and on and on about nothing that matters. Mm-hmm. Because it's not about the Word of God. If it's not the Word of God, what are you talking to? What are you talking about this movie for? This movie was a fake script written. What are you talking... Why are you talking about games, and why are you talking about... Let's talk about spiritual things that are pertinent. It's just Babylon.
You brought up in the last broadcast, what was the one thing... Like, let's take, for example, the whole thing with politics. And all they've been talking about for the last 2-3 weeks is two things. John Edwards with his sex scandal, and the whole Paris Hilton, Britney Spears tied in with Obama thing. Who cares?
I don't even watch television anymore, so that's foreign to me. I had just went on to Yahoo.
Who cares?
In the last podcast, I literally went into Yahoo to check my email, and I saw Paris Hilton was going to paint the White House pink. And that just, you know... So when you say that, it just nauseates me
to
even hear stuff like that. Like, I just totally have just turned the news off because I trust the Lord. He's my only hope. I can't figure out Babylon. Don't want to figure Babylon out. I know enough from the, you know, we say, oh, but we got to dig into the conspiracies, and we got to dig into the news, and we got to know what Satan's doing and everything. I literally am getting to the point where I know everything that Satan's doing from the Word of God. And I used to hear people tell me that, and I know the feeling that some of you guys out there might be getting listening to that. But I'm telling you, you will get to the point where when the Holy Spirit sharpens your discernment, you can literally discern from the Word of God what Satan is doing in the world. It's like the Word of God is a key that opens up every situation. So you don't need to go to Babylon to understand the news, because it's all coming through the API and all these different Reuters news services. They're all tied together, and it's just confusion. It's just spaghetti noodle in your head.
And Satan's good.
He's the master deceiver.
He is a fallen angel, so of course he knows He knows the Bible. He's a fallen angel.
He used it against Christ in the desert.
Yep.
Temptation. He was using it falsely, and Christ used the word of God back at him. He's like, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." It is written. It is written. It is written. You know, you guys, you can go back into the book of Isaiah, read the whole thing about Sennacherib, okay, where, you know, the field commander came out and talked to Hezekiah. That's a picture of the mark of the beast. That's a picture of Satan saying, you know, come out, guys. Don't be hiding. Make a bargain, you know. Come into the system. You can look at the verse where God says, woe to those who go down to Egypt. Egypt is a splintered reed of a staff which pierces a man's hand when he leans on it. Look what they're going to do. They're going to put microchips. You're leaning on the money system.
Egypt is
slavery, and right now we're in economic debt slavery. So what does it end up doing? You lean on the system, you lean on Egypt, and it pierces your hand. How much more do you need? Are you telling me you cannot figure out what's going on in the world by reading the Word of God? That you need to be checking in the newspapers every five minutes? No, the Word of God tells the truth, and you can take the Word of God and then look at your world, and it decodes it. It decodes it. But many of you may be having a problem using that decoder, you know, because maybe your discernment isn't sharpened enough. Stay in the Word of God. It, through constant use, it sharpens you. It sharpens the eyes of your spiritual understanding. You read it, and you'll make these connections that you see, you know, made on this podcast. Your eyes will be open. You'll read verses like, strike the tops of the towers and the threshold sake. Bring them down on the head of the people. And you're like, wow, that was in Samaria. And that's the same thing that's going on today. Oh, they're worshiping the golden calf. You know, wow, that was their wealth. They're not worshiping a golden calf anymore, but that's the symbol of our market, and it's wealth, and greed is idolatry. You'll start making all these connections, and you won't need to look at the news anymore because you'll be reading the Word of God, and you'll get so familiar with it, it'll get into your spirit, and it'll produce a harvest of discernment through the Holy Spirit. And you'll start looking at the world, and everything will become clear to you. And then you're going to join the struggle that everybody else is saying, you know, the spell of the world's going to be broken. You'll see everything exactly the way it is. And you're going to feel that need for patient endurance. You're going to be like, just like Lot, who was tormented in his soul, seeing this. Guys, you aren't alone out there. I get the emails from you guys. You're like, I'm scared. I'm scared about this. You know, I just feel like I'm in darkness. Well, get out of the conspiracies. Think on whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just and of good report. Think on these things. You got to stay in the Word of God, guys.
The book is there for a reason.
Yeah. The Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides down to the spirit and the soul and the marrow. It just is awesome. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is the oil. Virgins, trim your lamps, fill up with oil. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins, fill up with oil. Fill up with the Word of God. The Word of God is like an antibiotic that goes in and does its work. It destroys the virus of deception that's put on you by Satan in this world. And it just like you take an antibiotic, I've said this many times, you don't get it under a microscope and say, gee, what am I taking? You take it and it does its work. That's the way the Word of God is. You just keep reading it and reading it and reading it. And I want you to know when you read it and your eyes are open and you're walking down the street like we were in Westchester tonight and you're distressed looking at the looks in people's eyes, how they just think, you know, pardon my French, guys, I love you, but they just think they're badasses.
It's terrible.
It's just, it's this biker / jackass mentality that we're crazy and let's party, and the crazier thing we do, the more it's glorified. And
we were walking down, we stopped for a second because we saw this one young lady who was so drunk, she was stumbling terribly.
Yeah, she was sitting on that stoop.
It was terrible, and I just turned real quick. I said, "Is everything okay?" And the guy who was with her got defensive. All I said was, "Is everything okay? Is there anything I could do?"
Yeah.
Because clearly she was so drunk she needed help.
Hey man, it's just the mentalities, man. It's just
the cynicism.
It's a spider web.
The cynicism.
It's the cup of madness. She made all the nations drink of the maddening wine of her adulteries. What kind of adulteries? Spiritual adulteries. They went off, and if God was in this pure circle, like the earth, okay? You know, and then space just goes out forever, man. They just go up and make up things forever. It's like being untethered from the gravity of the earth, and you're just floating on. Let's just make up all kinds of vain imaginations.
You know,
we'll make
is?
Up television shows about everything. We'll make up games, and we'll talk about this and that, all to avoid the big empty, because they're missing the Lord, and they're not filtering everything through Christ,
but
who gives you joy and gives you the truth.
I guess I could think of it like, okay, you look at the Bible, the Word of God, it is absolute.
It's truth.
It's like set in stone, it's hard, it's like you say, it's black and white, it's this and that. And it's like everything else is just filler, gray area. Well...
Yeah.
Nothingness.
Yeah, it's nothing. And I go to work, I'm walking down the street, and I hear all these conversations. Did you hear what Tom said? Yeah, did you hear what Sally said? Did you watch that movie? Yeah, Batman was great. And yeah, that guy was really good in that movie. And that reminds me of this other movie that we were talking about. And oh, by the way, did you hear my father called the other day? I'm getting a new car, and I'm doing this. And it's Babylon. It's just all this stuff, but there's no talk about the Lord. There's no talk about righteousness. There's no talk about moving forward with what God wants us to do. It's just vanity of vanities. Meaningless. Meaningless is everything. Everything is meaningless. Everything is vanity, saith the preacher. Everything under the sun. That means in the physical world is vanity and meaningless. The only way you can find joy is by the Lord being in your life and you experiencing the world through the Holy Spirit through that. But we're distressed. We have joy because we know the promises, but we're distressed because we're living in the middle of darkness and nobody can see it because they're like, the sun's up. Yeah, the sun's up, but it's spiritual darkness. And people can't tell if they're in darkness until they experience the holiness of God and experience His light,
mm-hmm.
and then they understand the darkness.
Do you remember the one time I told you about when I felt most peace at heart? It was a few years ago.
Refresh me.
I was living out in the Rocky Mountains, and I just spent time...
Oh, yeah, in AmeriCorps.
Yeah, and I spent time every morning that summer just soaking it in, where I would literally stop everything I was doing. I went through my morning routine, ate breakfast, everything else, and then for literally 5 minutes, I would just stop. Like, I would stop going the ways of the world.
Yeah.
And I would just soak it in, nature around me, everything. Like, just... And...
The heavens declare the glory of God. We don't worship nature. We don't worship the creation. We give glory to God because He created everything.
But just to stop this craziness.
Yeah.
For
5 minutes. Stop the noise.
But to stop it, and it was just peace and quiet, and I could soak it all in. And it was literally, I can tell you right now, purely honestly, it was peace of heart, peace of mind. It was just peace. Content. I felt content. I felt at peace.
They're overloading.
And I looked up in the sky. I said, thank you every day.
Yeah. It's literal overload. We, you know, guys, you know, I hope you guys understand when I get fired up. You know me well enough right now. You know I love you. You know that, you know my heart. And I just get fired up. I get distressed at the world. I get distressed at the pollution. You know, and it distresses me that, you know, I'm the one that's got to sound off about it, you know, and I'm a sinner, you know. I still live in my flesh. I still deal with the same things. I still deal with the temptation, but I can't lie. In the Holy Spirit, I feel grieved at what's going on, and I want to help people. I want to get the gospel out there. I want to tell them the good news. But the God of this world, little g God, which is no God at all, Satan, has blinded the world to the glorious light of the gospel. And the only wrecking ball thing that I try to do is trying to bring that wrecking ball in to destroy people's love of the world in the hopes that they'll say, oh my gosh, look at the darkness. This is unbelievable. What do I do? My world's like a nightmare. And I'm like, it's Christ. Now you understand why the Savior came down here, and He said, you're walking in darkness. You're in spiritual chains. You're in bondage to sin, to your fleshly desires. We need to break this. You need to crucify the flesh. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he crashes into somebody's life. And he makes a real change and he opens their eyes. If people would just humble themselves before the Lord, if they would repent. Repent in their mind. Agree with God. You can't change your actions. You cannot clean up to come to God. Only God can clean you up. The only thing you can do is come to the Lord in humility and call upon his name verbally. Get somewhere, get alone. If you have to, go out like I did in a field, anywhere. You can do it in your closet. You can do it in your room, whatever. Just cry out to the Lord. Cry out to him, Lord, save me. Be merciful to me. I am a sinner.
I have sinned.
I'm a sinner.
I have done something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I have sinned against you, Lord. I see what you're saying about the human condition. I see the world. It's messed up. We're in we're in bondage. Everybody's going in circles every day, same routine. Get up, go to work, go to the same way to work, stop at the same store, get the same cup of coffee. Everybody's going in circles for no reason, only to end up be worm food in a coffin.
Do you know what I think amazes me is, like, how can someone seriously be happy about all the stuff they have? It's just stuff. It's nothing.
Yeah, and according to the laws of gravity, more mass equals more gravity. So the more stuff you have, the more attracted you are to it. You can't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like when God opens your eyes, you start to see the connectedness of everything, and it just screams out to you. The Bible says your teachers will be hidden no more.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, I want to give this away. It's free. The gospel is free. Come to the waters and drink of the water of life. All you who are weary and heavy laden, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters and drink of the waters of life, and that is Christ. He will reveal it to you. Christ is our Savior. He came down here. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One. He came down. It was Emmanuel, God with us. God came down and veiled himself in a fleshly tabernacle and dwelt among us and was a living example of the written word. He magnified the word. He showed us the meaning of the law. He's like, you know, the Pharisees were telling him that he couldn't feed his disciples on the Sabbath. And he says, the Sabbath wasn't, the man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. The Lord is even the Lord of the Sabbath. And they were just twisting things. They were telling people they couldn't carry their mat for a certain distance. You know, on the way home, you couldn't do this, you couldn't do that. And it was just like they were adding to it. And Christ came down and just destroyed the hypocrisy of it all. And he made his life a ransom for many. He shed his blood, for the life is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It's all about cleansing the conscience, because guilt separates you from the Lord. Guilt blinds you because it makes you feel bad. Guilt just makes you feel bad. And when people feel bad, they can't see the truth. It blinds you. So it's about, read Hebrews. It says that the blood of bulls and goats were not able to cleanse the conscience of the worshiper. But Christ went in to the most holy place in a tabernacle not made by human hands and offered his own blood. He is our high priest, our mediator, our Messiah, our rescuer.
But keep in mind how Satan can take that very same context and twist it. You know how you're saying how it's the whole thing with guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for those of us who believe, we turn to God and confess and say, you know, we've sinned. Help us.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Satan completely twists that concept.
Yeah, he says, and we need our consciences cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. But Satan says, we'll just either do one of two things. We'll just either just say God's laws and we'll throw them out so it won't hurt our conscience. We won't think we're doing anything wrong. Or they'll just harden themselves to where they don't feel anymore, and that's their pseudo version of a cleansed conscience. But anything other than just owning up to what you did and accepting God's mercy, because that requires humility. I mean, people don't want to bow down to the throne of the Lord, Ezra. They just don't want to humble themselves. It just, you know, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. To those who are proud and say, you know, I resist that, they get the sword. The sword is the law. It's like, nope, you broke it. Nope, you broke it. You did that wrong. But as soon as you come to the throne of the Lord with humility, and you bow your head like the publican in the publican and Pharisee parable, say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. All you do is own up to it. But it's just pride. And it's just, man, it's so confusing. But this culture, to kind of bring it full circle, what started out tonight walking down, you know, the streets of Westchester and literally looking around and just seeing everybody in revelry and partying and
wickedness.
Just these wickedness and these attitudes, these hard and calloused attitudes and, you know, people pushing each other around and just, you know, people walking by almost looking at you with that squinty stare, like, what are you looking at, you know? Like, don't look
at me.
Who
are you?
Yeah, like, who are you? And it's just, people are getting hardened. No wonder the Lord says in Ezekiel, he says, these people are a stiff-necked and rebellious people. Their hearts are hardened. And they're all thorns and briars because they just persecute you. We've got to be a light in these days, guys. We've got to be a light, and it ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be easy. People are going to come against you. They're literally preparing the masses to think you're a nutcase, that you believe in myths, and that you're old school. That's getting washed away. Like, you know, religion? Religion is the cause of the problems of everything.
Oh, they have it so set up that way.
It's so
wrong.
Set up for especially these young college kids that are going to these classes, they're raised up in evolution and atheism and philosophy, and, you know, I've talked to them. They're just like, man, that's so outdated. You just don't understand. I'm illuminated, man. I'm educated. We know. We've got science now that proves this. Love is just a chemical reaction, you know, that happens, and it's crazy, but we literally are going to have to face the fact, brothers and sisters, that we are going to have to stand, and they're not going to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are not going to understand. You are going to be misinterpreted. You are literally going to be misinterpreted. So
it could be family. It could be friends you've had your entire life. If they don't understand, they until, you know, it is truly revealed to them, they won't understand.
Yeah, you're exactly right. They're not going to understand, and that's the whole point of it. It's we're just going to have to face this. We're going to have to face a society that is going to come against us. They're, you know, but we're going to pull as many people out of the fire as we can. We're going to keep spreading the seed of the Word of God. We're going to keep trying to reach people until the very end, and It's gonna get worse, but we're gonna keep our faith because this is the time. This is the time of the Book of Revelation where people are gonna start betraying each other because of the fact that, you know, I've seen people getting in fights over money because of the economy. It's coming. It's coming.
So
you know,
bad.
It's people are arguing over religion. Religion's becoming a hot topic. So we're basically gonna have to face this, and I just want to encourage you that you're not alone. We're all facing this together. And we're going to stand strong, stay in the Word of God, sharpen your discernment, pray to the Lord that you might be able to stand in the day of the Son of Man and be worthy to escape all these things. So just know, I just wanted to do this podcast and just kind of vent a little bit. Vent about the culture, talk about some things, seeing, you know, where things are going, and just kind of hang out with you guys for a while. And, you know, because we've been teaching some things from the Word of God, and this is just hanging out, just talking about it, letting you know that what you see in the world, we're all seeing it, and it's getting crazy, and there's an acceleration in wickedness, and you know, we're all going through it. So hang tough, guys. All right, just hang tough. We're all in this together. It's the fellowship that we share. Ezra, I want to thank you for coming on here and just
thank you, Amos,
sharing your thoughts and you know, kind of bouncing things off one another to get a good conversation going here. We're going to wind this podcast up, guys. I want to thank you for downloading the podcast, and listening, and for the great emails that you guys send me. Keep them coming. You know, I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. I'm going to give you my contact information. You can find the True Stream podcast at truestream.podomatic.com. You can email me at epiphos@hotmail.com. That's epiphos@hotmail.com or epiphos@gmail.com. I've added that one as well. So I want to pray that the Lord will keep you guys safe under the shadow of his mighty wings. And I love all you guys because you love studying God's word and you love the Lord. So you guys hang tough, let the Lord be your light, and keep the faith, and don't let the darkness cave in on you. Just focus on the Lord, focus on the Word of God, and walk in the Spirit, and try not to let the things that are going on in the world rock your flesh, okay? I love you guys. I'm your host, Amos Ridley, and if I don't see you guys on this side, I certainly hope to see you guys on the other side.
Bring rivers in this wasteland, clouds into the sky. Bring springs of life into the wells that have been run dry. Rise up in this city, gather in this light. Fall down on your people, your glory and your life. Rain on with us for water, rain. We are desert land. Rain on your sons and daughters, rain. Bring your rain again. Speak dreams into this water, envision to this land. Let oceans be divided and bring forth life again. Rise up in this city, gather in this light. Pour down on your people your glory and your life. Rain on with us for water. We are desert land. Rain on your sons and daughters. Rain, bring your rain again. Rain, though it thirsts for water. Rain, we are desert land. Rain on your sons and daughters. Rain, bring your rain again. Let the tide roll in, washing over. Let your water fall again. Bring rivers in this wasteland, clouds into the sky. Rain, low earth thirst for water. Rain, we are desert land. Rain on your sons and daughters. Rain.